Is it insane? Do we live in a little bit of insane times? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says there is insanity in the heart of man. And I would say that right now that insanity is almost uncontrolled. We talked about recently the AMA, American Medical Association, and they said when somebody is born, no longer label them either male or female, but just something was born. Genderless. Also, it's a fact. If you want information, I can share with you later. The MMA has been, they published a document and they send it to the hospitals giving new language to use. For example, I don't remember all the different terms, but there are at least 15 of them. Instead of saying quarantine or lockdown at home, instead, stay home, stay safe. You've even seen it maybe on billboards. Even if you're healthy, stay home, stay safe. The American Medical Association. It's a little bit insane. The American Medical Association and even the Big Pharma has a lot of power. A lot of power. All over the world. Do you know that in Australia now, about to go into effect, and please be a fact checker. You know, what I love about preaching right now is I can say something and you can immediately get on your cell phone and go, I'm going to check him out. Write it down. When we get home, you can check it out. But soon in Australia, there's going to be a new app. And in this new app, if the government kind of suspects you, they're going to text you. This is true. And say, we want a picture of where you are right now. And if you don't do it, they're going to come get you. Recently, somebody in Australia tested positive. They came to his house, got him, and took him to a home for those that have tested positive. It's true. This is in Australia. We live in an insane time. We live in such an insane time that American forces under Biden decided to withdraw from Afghanistan. And then they gave all the information of many Americans, even Afghanis who became American citizens. They gave the Taliban the information of where they were. This is true. It's true. We live in insane times. Right now in Congress, there's a law that they're trying to get passed that if you're not vaccinated, you can't fly on an airplane. It's true. We live in insane times. Biden has talked about how he wants to get passed. You can't leave from one state into another state unless you're vaccinated. Inslee, last year, what did he say during December to churches? What did he say? You can't sing to Jesus in a church. You can't praise the Lord together. You can't do that. I prohibit you from praising Jesus by song. Maybe one person can do it, but the whole congregation, they can't praise Jesus. In a sense, what we said were conspiracy theories, they're no longer conspiracy theories. Does the state love Jesus? Does the government love Christ? Do they want to bless you? No. The whole world and the world system lies in the lap of the evil one. Read the book of Revelation. Is it going to get better? Is Trump, is Trump the savior? Is the Republican Party the savior? I love you in the military. Thank you for serving. Praise God for you. Is the military, though, going to save us? Who's going to save us? Christ. Jesus. He's our hope. Our only hope. Christ Jesus. I am all for right now. I do believe, it seems I could be 100% wrong. I don't think so. I think we're right on, I think we're close to the tribulation, it seems to me. And maybe they've always thought that, like before World War II and so forth. But with the technology that we have, that the government can put something inside of you and track you around everywhere and close down your bank accounts and all of this, and then you can't buy food and fly and all that, seems very close to the end, which is really the beginning, right? The end is really the true beginning. And so we praise God for that. But I am all for, it's kind of scary, how then do we prepare? I'm all for, you know what, you should have enough food for several months. You should be sure that you have adequate water access for several months. You should have some firearms and a lot of ammo. I think that's very wise. I think that's very wise. But none of those things are the Savior. The Savior is who? Jesus. And so number one is to get as close as you can to the victorious King Jesus. That's the answer. How do we make it through these insane times? You know, in the providence of God, we could have been born any time in history. And it seems that we've been born, it seems, at the end, which is really the beginning. It can get really, really difficult. Really difficult. For the church in the USA. Is it difficult for the church in Canada right now? Yes. Do you think that the present government wants to bless the church? They want to shut the church down. And I don't trust that if the Republican Party comes down, seems to me that the election was a complete fraud. The answer isn't the Republican Party. They could come and be even worse. The Republican Party are not, they're not the saviors. It's Jesus. And so what do? We get as close as we can to Jesus Christ, because he is victorious. It's not just that Jesus Christ died. It's not just that he died and rose again. It's not just that he died, rose again, and ascended unto the Father and is sitting down at the right-hand side of the Father. All of that is gloriously true, but he died, he rose again, he ascended unto the Father, and he reigns. And then when you rule Psalm 2, what's he going to do? He's going to conquer the whole universe. He's going to conquer the whole world, and he's going to reign. And that's our hope. And so just briefly, this is going to be a brief sermon. I'm almost done. Just four words to summarize this psalm. Okay, first word is vain. Everybody say vain. 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 Second word is laughter. Ha ha. Everybody laugh for a moment. We're going to talk about laughing. Third word, and you can see it here in the third paragraph, is when. W-H-I-N. When. Say when. When. When's your game?
Monday.
I hope you can play, and I hope you can win. Fourth word is devotion. Say devotion.
Devotion.
Children in the back, say kiss. Kiss. Because here in the Bible, in verse 12, my version says do homage. The Hebrew word is kiss. Say kiss, everybody. Kiss. Okay. Number one, vain. And just look at these verses. Why are the nations in an uproar and his people devising a vain thing? It talks about the kings of the earth take their stand against God and against Jesus, and they take the fetters, that is probably the word of God, and they cast these to the ground, and they raise their fist to God, and we hate God, we don't need God, we don't need Christ, and they devise all these plans against God to rebel against him. Now, this passage right here, Psalm 2, where it talks about the peoples of the earth are devising a vain thing, and they're standing up against God. Where is this quoted? Who knows? This is quoted in the New Testament. Where is this quoted? Do you remember? Where is this quoted? Who knows? What was the most horrible thing that nations of mankind ever did? Crucify Christ. Who said that? There you are. I can see you. Yes. And listen to Acts chapter 4 when Peter is preaching. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? Acts 4:25. And the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. And this is the passage in verse 28 when it talks about that this was the purpose and foreordained plan of God. That is, the Spirit of God takes Psalm chapter 2, when it says that all the nations of the world, they hate God, they hate Christ, they want to raise their fist toward God, and it's vain. That means it's empty, it's worthless, and it applies it when Pontius Pilate and Herod and the Romans and the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, what happened because Jesus was murdered? What did that ultimately lead to?
Salvation.
And it talks about in Colossians and other places to the reconciliation of the whole universe. So evil people did the most evil thing they could ever do and imagine, and it resulted in what? The most blessed thing that could ever possibly happen. And that's why Psalm 2 says that when people raise up their fists against God and say, we hate God, we hate Christ, or even hate true Christians and hate the true church, and we're going to subject them, make them submit and hate them and kill them. What's ultimately going to happen? God's going to use it for His glory and beautiful, wonderful things unto the glory of God are going to happen. So it's vain and it's empty. This is why one martyr, I'm not saying we're going to be martyred, but this is why one martyr said right before he died, you can kill me, but you can't hurt me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So anything the world wants to do to Christ, to God, or to His people is vain. Anything that bad happens to a believer from the world, God's going to cause it, Romans 8:28, to work together for good. So vain. So all these insane times and people are inflicting evil things and evil schemes, you know what? God's going to use it for your good. And He's going to use it for the good of the church. Satan is going to lose. All evil is going to be dealt with and all evil is going to lose. God and Jesus wins. So any evil that's plotted against you or the church as a believer, God's going to use it for your good and even for your glory. We'll talk about that in a moment. Second word. Look at verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. One time a friend of mine, a long time ago, about 25 years ago, came to me and said, Tom, does God have a sense of humor? I said, no! God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Don't you dare say, children in the back, that God has a sense of humor. Was that the best way for me to answer that question? Probably not. I don't think so. Because at least here in Psalm 2, it says what? The Lord does what? He laughs. And then right after laughs, it says He also does what? What does scoff mean? Make fun of. Sometimes I don't like it when people make fun of me or make fun of other people. Because there can be all kinds of motivations and intentions that are wrong. But God is absolutely holy. But in His holiness and His absolute righteousness, when evil people and kingdoms and nations devise evil things and we're going to rule the world and we're going to crush Christians, we're just going to make them either follow us, make them stay at home, we're going to kill the church, crush them. The Lord is in heaven. What's His reaction? Well, what's God's reaction when Satan and evil people are thinking, we're going to get rid of God. We're going to get rid of Jesus. We're going to get rid of the church. We're going to get rid of Christians. We're going to get rid of faith everywhere because we're God. What's God's reaction? Is God in heaven going, oh no, my plan is a failure. What am I going to do? What's God's reaction to evil?
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Did you hear Abigail? She said, yeah, right. What? That's the interpretation of the Hebrew text is, yeah, right. There is a sense, certainly, in which God is sad and he's grieved by it, certainly. But there's also a sense in which God is, oh, my word. Oh, you're really funny. You're so smart. And you're so strong. I'm really impressed. That is what the Hebrew text means. That God is like, you guys are hilarious. Because you're absolutely, do you understand that I'm the one that's keeping your heart pumping? Do you understand that? That your molecules and cells in your body are actually all working together because I'm keeping it together and making it function. Don't you get that? And so we have to understand that temptation can be, it can be for me. Man, we live in crazy times, you know. I go into Walmart and I just keep my mask down here, and everybody are Lowe's, and maybe 98% of the people are all wearing masks. You know, everybody can't see my face. There can be this almost, oh, what's going on? Very, very weighty feeling, and I think that's intentional of be afraid. Be concerned. And it was, and it may come again, be separated. They can almost be, Lord, we're going to lose. It's all over. But when you look at this section of the psalm, notice what it says. He sits in the heaven. He's in control because he's sitting on the throne. And he's going to speak to them in his anger. And he's saying, Jesus rules. Look at the end of verse 6. Jesus is the one that's ruling. Jesus reigns. It says in tonight's passage, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. It can look insane. It can look a little bit crazy, but God has a plan and God has a purpose. And the Lord, when he looks at all the evil that's in the world now, God's in control and he allows evil to go on for now. But his attitude, in one sense, is, oh, you guys are hilarious. That is, God's in control. There isn't, Satan is not in the boxing ring of God, and they're duking it out. Come on. Satan isn't able to get into the boxing ring with God, right? He can't do MMA with God. It's not that God is sparring, and Satan is about to get Jesus into this like reverse naked choke, and he's about to do that. No. He can't get even into the boxing ring. No. Satan is truly a squatter. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Satan does not own the world in the sense of being the legal. He didn't create it, nor he is the legal owner. That's God. That's Christ. And then the third word, we said when. Look at verse 7. W-I-N. And note where it says, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. And the first thing that comes to our mind is what, when we think, begotten thee? What's the first thing that comes to your mind, Elizabeth, when we say, begotten? I saw your hand, thank you, Elizabeth. John 3:16, right? Well, this verse, in Acts 13:33, is applied to the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the dead, God said, "Today I have begotten thee." Why? Because it declares his sonship, that he is truly God of gods and King of kings. And look what it says. The very ends of the earth are your possession. Verse 8, all the nations belong to you. You rule them with a rod of iron. You shatter them like earthenware. So to encourage you, the earth belongs to Christ. And who will reign over the earth? Who's going to reign over a new heaven and a new earth? Who is that? Christ. Jesus wins. So however you want to look at it, the global elite, the deep state, okay, maybe that's all conspiracies. So the Democratic Party, the CCP, whoever it is that's pulling all these different strings, Big Pharma, whoever it is, AMA, whoever it is, they will be defeated, and who's going to reign over the whole universe forever and forever? Jesus. Jesus Christ. And it says in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, if you look at these verses here, verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. That's applied to believers. If you're in Christ, if you've trusted Jesus, if you said, "I'm a sinner, Lord, please save me. I can't save myself, Lord, save me." The book of Revelation says you will reign with Christ, you will sit with Christ on his throne, and even these verses here are applied to you. In some way, you will rule and reign with Christ forever. Not because you deserved it, but because he deserves it, and he loves you so much, he's going to include you with his work and his privileges and his rights. That is incredible. So really, everybody here who's trusted Jesus Christ, you are elite. Everybody here who's trusted Jesus Christ, you are elite. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is and the grace he's had upon you. And that is good news. And that helps us to get through dark times. Then a fourth word we said was devotion. Or you can use the word kiss. Look at verse 10. Now because of all this, with all this in mind, verse 10, now therefore, be wise. You see that in verse 10. Be wise, use your head, take warning. All those that rule the earth, all those that think they have lots of power, worship the Lord and rejoice with trembling. Have fear. And also when you're glad, have a glad type of fear. Rejoice with trembling. Worship with fear. This awe and this alarm which shakes you to the core, but also you have joy. Then look at verse 12. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. The American Standard says do homage. In India sometimes, if there was a very important person, they would actually bow down before that person and kiss their fingers and then put their fingers on that person's toe. Sometimes they would even kiss the feet. Why? That's a sign of what? Devotion, submission, honor, loyalty. Even in the Old Testament with Jacob, people in dreams and visions were bowing down to others. And it's a sign of commitment, devotion, submission, loyalty, honor, love, commitment. And that's what this verse is talking about. Because all the plans of evil of the world is empty, because really God's in charge, and Christ, Jesus the Son, is in charge and will reign forever and forever. Verse 12, therefore, who deserves, in other words, all of our devotion? Jesus. And if you're not devoted to Jesus, look at verse 12. He's going to become angry and send you to hell. That's what verse 12 means. Give your life to Jesus. Trust Jesus with all that you are. Otherwise, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Trust Jesus, or he's going to get really mad and you're going to go to hell. That's what verse 12 is saying. And look at verse 12. It says, his wrath may soon be kindled. We never know when it's our time to die and to go be with the Lord. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. What do? Get as close as you possibly can to Jesus by faith. And then look at the very end. How blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. And all of you gave wonderful, last night, gave wonderful definitions of bless. Fundamentally, the Hebrew basic core idea is, yes, praise Him, thank Him, and then Elias brought it out last night, the whole Psalm 103, because He's been so good to us. The idea of bless is, if I bless somebody, if I say bless you, then I am basically saying, may God treat you with goodness today. It's the idea of goodness. So here, when it says, how blessed are all those who take refuge in Him, those that take refuge in Jesus, they're going to receive all this goodness from God. Psalm 23. The Bible says here, anoint our head with oil, and that He'll pursue us with goodness and loving kindness all the days of our life. Now, the way that God does that is up to Him. It may not be physical prosperity, but it will be eternal prosperity forever and forever. How blessed are all those who take refuge in Jesus. That is, right now, times can seem dark. They can seem weird. They can seem insane. They can seem difficult. All kinds of things are going on. Where is our hope? Our hope is in one person, Jesus Christ. He is our castle. He is our refuge. Better than a panic room, or better than a bunker, better than a laser ray gun to fight off evil enemies. Not that those things are bad, but better than all those is Jesus. So the message this morning is this. Because all the plans of the world to do evil against God, against Christ, and even against you is empty and worthless and vain, because God's attitude toward evil is, you guys are laughable. Yeah, right. You're not going to succeed. Do you understand that? Because Jesus inherits the whole world, and He's going to be king forever and forever and forever and forever, then our attitude should not be, can we win? Are we going to lose? Really, our attitude should be, because of Jesus, we already have won, and we're going to win forever and forever and forever. Actually, we are victorious in Christ. And then that will even help us to have sympathy for those that don't know Jesus. Because right now, those that don't know Jesus, they really need to know Christ. Again, it seems to me that we're very close to the tribulation, the end times. Even if we're not, everybody here is close to what? Sooner or later, meeting God face to face. And so we'd better take refuge in who? Jesus. Today and all this week, let us focus our hearts and our minds on Jesus Christ, the victorious King. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I pray that Psalm 2 could fit deeply into our hearts, and that we would have this perspective that You are the victorious King, that all evil will finally and forever be dealt with, and help us to live from that perspective, Lord, that You are not anxious about what's happening in the world. You're in control. You have a plan. You're sovereign. You've won. You are winning. And You will win finally and forever. And so we praise You and we give You glory. In Christ's name, amen.